This is Cascadia Public Radio.
That is the one. That's the song we like. And it means that it's time to say, let's go. Yeah! Hey, hello, and welcome to the Unbought and Unbossed Show, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 164. Today is March 10th, 2010. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This radio show contends that the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, in effect turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your televisions off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. That's right, our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. Okay, friends, hey, welcome to the show. What do I have for you? I have in the first hour, maybe bleeding into the second hour, and telephone interview with 9/11 Truth activist, as well as co-host of Vancouver's, the radio station is CFRO, the Monday Brown Dagger is the radio show. This guest is also the webmaster and co-creator of Axiomatica.org. We are going to be discussing a recent article by this person, Kevin Kelso, which is entitled The Top 40 Reasons to Doubt the Official Story of September 11, 2001. That's right, we're going to be spending a whole lot of time tonight talking about the 9/11, the problems in the official story, which not all of you have it yet. Not all of you have it. I had a conversation with a fellow a couple days ago talking about 9/11. He's like, man, you believe that stuff? I was like, well, as a matter of fact, yeah, I do. He goes, I don't know. I've seen all the videos on the internet, and I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. And my first thought was, liar, because had you have seen one of them and paid serious attention, you would realize that there are many, many large flaws in the official story. So, that's frustrating, but it seems how the non-truthers are approaching it nowadays. I've looked into it already. There's nothing there. Well, of course there's something there. That's why a third of you out there are willing to say so. So Kevin Kelso in the first hour talking about 9/11. He's been on the show in the past. Oh, let's see. Maybe five shows back, Kevin came on for a short interview discussing the Olympics. He lives in North Van, so I got four Vancouverites telling me about their Olympic experiences. Okay, what else do we have for you? Anything I want to mention? Not really, actually. I've got lots of things to fill in, depending on how long this interview goes with Kevin Kelso. So, how about an announcement? This one here is concerning the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. And, well, there is a movie out. It was produced by We Are Change Vancouver, and it is called 2010 Vancouver Olympics, the movie. It's 37 minutes long and is, I guess, kind of a highlight of a lot of the Olympics, not just necessarily the protests. I haven't seen it in its entirety yet. I just learned of it yesterday, I believe. So there you go. Some independent media, just regular people like you and I becoming the media. And, well, this movie here is the fruit of that. I have a quote for you. Sometimes I have quotes for you. And this one is from George Carlin. And he was a fine truth-telling comedian. And, you know, the truth really isn't that funny, but George had a way of making it so. And, well, good for him, because I think a lot of truthers have learned that humor is a good way to break a rather painful truth to people. So what does George Carlin have to say? He says, "I'm not concerned about all hell breaking loose, but rather that a part of hell will break loose, because it'll be much harder to detect." Absolutely, and I think that's exactly what we have going on right now. This totalitarian tiptoe, as some call it, slow creeping fascism, it's coming in bits and pieces, isn't it? And so, like he says, it makes it much harder to detect. So there we are. Okay, I do have a piece that is good news and bad news. I'll stick to the good news for a minute. Splitting the Sky, John Boncour, the man who attempted to place George W. Bush under citizen's arrest about a year ago now in Calgary. Well, yesterday was his first trial date. So let me read you a piece here that is from Joshua Blakeney. Joshua, B-L-A-K-E-N-E-Y. Now, he's the media coordinator of globalization studies at the University of Lethbridge. So he attended yesterday, the first day of Splitting the Sky's trial. And this article is called Judge Manfred DeLong Meets Splitting the Sky. Now, you're not going to hear the entire thing, and then at the end I will give you the fuller news. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll tell you. There was a live broadcast last night featuring Splitting This Guy, Cynthia McKitty, and Tony Hall on I'm not too sure what it's called, a web forum, but where you can watch it live as it was going down. It was really quite entertaining. And there was a good listening audience as well, so that was a lot of fun. So let's learn a little bit about day one of Splitting the Sky's trial. Okay, I'll leave the music quiet in the background. How about that? Today, the trial of Splitting the Sky commenced. Splitting the Sky attempted a citizen's arrest on credibly accused war criminal George W. Bush on March 17, 2009, and was arrested and jailed for doing so by the police. So from what I witnessed firsthand on day one, the government's attempt to manage this highly volatile convergence of law and politics was an exciting affair. And this is Joshua Blakeney. The morning's proceedings were mostly filled with the testaments of the policemen involved in protecting Bush and arresting Splitting the Sky. Amazingly, when one of the policemen was asked why he had arrested the Mohawk activist, the official contended that he was, quote, protecting Splitting the Sky, end quote, from Bush's henchmen. He went on to say that Bush's protectors carry lethal weapons, and that they would have been used to kill the accused man, rather than seek further information on Bush's private Blackwater-style militia. The lawyers on both sides of the case passed over this startling revelation. The presiding magistrate, Judge Manfred DeLong, initially appeared, in my view, to be siding with the Crown prosecutor against Splitting the Sky's lawyer, Charles Davison. Davison's initial submission asked the court to allow for a distinction between the term obstructing a police officer and that of preventing a police officer from performing his duty. Davidson's argument was disallowed by Judge DeLong, and from that point on, Mr. Davidson appeared to be improvising in a defense in which the hopes of many in the anti-war activist communities are riding. Certainly, the turning point of the day came when Splitting the Sky took the stand to testify in his usual flamboyant manner. splitting the sky reminded the court that it was the same laws which the minority government eschewed, which were involved to keep British peace activists, George Galloway, but he's also an MP, MP George Galloway, out of Canada last March. Splitting the sky said, all Galloway was doing was bringing medical aid to Palestinians in Gaza, 2,000 of whom Israel had massacred. But they barred Galloway from Canada using the same laws which they should have used to ban George W. Bush. Okay. My perception was that, and no, again, my perception is Joshua Blakeney, the media coordinator of globalization studies at the University of Lethbridge, Alberta. Okay, my perception was that until Splitting the Sky testified, Judge DeLong was more inclined to the Crown side of the argument, namely that the police were keeping the peace in a law-abiding manner by arresting Splitting the Sky. Once Splitting the Sky had outlined his justifications for seeking to arrest Bush, the judge perked up markedly. Charles Davidson's main contentions revolved around the characterization of Splitting the Sky's understanding at the moment he attempted the citizen's arrest. Splitting the Sky informed the court that three documents most influenced his decision to arrest Bush. The first was a statement disseminated prior to Bush's lecture date by Lawyers Against the War. It was directed to a number of law enforcement officials right up to Prime Minister Stephen Harper. In a concise yet rich and detailed intervention, Lawyers Against the War detailed why George W. Bush was inadmissible to Canada under the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act, as well as Canada's Crimes Against Humanity and War Crimes Act. The second document submitted to the court was a letter of solidarity written by the former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark. Over three decades, Clark and Splitting the Sky have developed a deep and fruitful collaboration going back to the days when the latter was charged with killing a jail guard in the Attica prison debacle of 1971. The third document to be placed before the court is entitled Bush League Justice, Should George W. Bush Be Arrested in Calgary, Alberta and Tried for International Crimes. It was authored by Splitting the Sky's friend and colleague Anthony J. Hall. Professor, that is. Okay, a little bit left here. Not long after the period when Judge DeLong had listened to Splitting the Sky's impassioned oratory and viewed Professor Hall's essay, the court was adjourned. The judge concluded by stating that he was willing to stay until Thursday. That means for all 4 days, plus an extra day if necessary, 5 days. The judges looking ahead to a week-long trial can be deemed a victory for Splitting the Sky and his supporters, as a five-day event would allow for more evidence to be brought to light in a legal proceeding, which is certainly one of the most significant trials ever to take place in Calgary. Judge DeLong has been presented with a chance to create a beacon of hope in a world afflicted by the prospect of a never-ending military strife, as set in motion by the Bush-Cheney regime's fraudulent global war on terror. Tomorrow is the second day, which is today, of the trial, and Splitting the Sky's lawyer may be calling Professor Anthony J. Hall to the stand to testify. Cynthia McKinney will arrive in Calgary on Tuesday evening, and she did. It is hoped that the court will give this freedom fighter the green light to testify on Wednesday. Yeah, Cynthia McKinney, I believe she's a five-time senator, senatress. I'm not too sure what a female senator is. Maybe just a senator from Georgia. Anyways, enough of that. However, there is some bad news. I had an email which was from Anthony Hall. This came to me through Kevin Barrett, the radio host and author on 9/11, that today was the final day of the trial. The judge shut it down after day two, and he said that he will give a ruling on June 7th on what may happen to Splitting the Sky. I believe it is a rather small financial fine, but 6 months in prison is the maximum of jail time. So I'm going to do my best to get Splitting the Sky in for an interview next week. Hopefully he doesn't have anything on Wednesday evening, and that will work for him. I hope so. So this is not good news. Clearly, the evidence is certainly far from being presented in full. So, yeah, that's really unfortunate. This, you know, I mean, he is a credibly accused war criminal. And he and other people in the Bush regime have said so, that they have no problem torturing people if that's going to protect America. But, you know, what a crock that is, because that's we need protection from Bush and his cronies and all the other people that are bought and bossed, that get into politics. You know, it's unfortunate because not all of them are bought and bossed. You know, for example, the NDP. They're actors. They're not, well, so they are, I guess, partly bought and bossed. They know what things to bring up and what things not to bring up, and that's pretty damn frustrating. You know, there were a couple NDP MPs that were speaking out, for example, on the merging of the North American countries into a union of financial and military import. And, however, the NDP leader, Jack Layton, will not say anything on that officially in the media or in Parliament. So, you know, it's half measures at best, half measures. And, yeah, so that's, you know, to me just more evidence of the depth of problem that we have going on right now. So, now let me see. I told you about the movie produced by We Are Change Vancouver about the Olympics. So you could go to We Are Change Vancouver, or you could look up on YouTube. It's posted the title 2010 Vancouver Olympics, the movie. Okay, well, very nice. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put on a very important and very telling audio clip. This comes from the MSNBC news show called Hardball. Chris Matthews is the host. This is from a couple of days ago. This is concerning the Pentagon shooter. Well, he was a 9/11 truther. He was also mentally had serious problems. But what you're going to learn is that this media pundit and some goofy supposed terror expert, well, they're going to further continue to demonize the 9/11 truth movement as extremists. And they have to do that because those of you who are willing to listen to the evidence that the official 9/11 story is not correct for most every reason, most of you are saying, huh, wait a second, they have a point there. So they have to, they're kicking it into high gear, literally, to demonize us. And they basically say that, you know, it's so easy if you have a problem, just blame the government, you know. If you got a zit, just blame the government. It's, you know, it's a really weak thing. And then this so-called terrorism expert. You know, I used to try to get these terrorist expert spokespeople to come on this show. And, of course, they would never return my emails. They won't even discuss a thing with, you know, real media, you know. But they certainly get called up for the corporate media to put out more, well, basically hate and fear-mongering. And this clown says that basically, you know, the 9/11 truthers, well, we're getting radical, apparently, and, you know, apparently we're buying weapons as well. And, you know, it's all over when that happens. So that is not at all an accurate representation of the 9/11 truth movement that that is so near and dear to me. So we're going to hear this clip. And in the meantime, I will be getting Kevin Kelso, the radio host, the webmaster of Axiomatica.org, where you can find the article that we're going to be using as kind of a rough outline, which is entitled The Top 40 Reasons to Doubt the Official Story of September 11, 2001. So Axiomatica, if you want to follow along, it's A-X-I-O-Matica, M-A-T-I-C-A, Axiomatica.org. There we are. Okay, so I guess let's do that. Let's do that. This is from MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews attempting to demonize the truth movement as, extremists, radicals who are buying weapons, and look out. It's It's terrible, apparently. Okay, so let's give that a listen, and we'll be back with Kevin Kelso in about 4 minutes. Be well.
We're back. More details emerged today about that California man who shot and wounded two police officers at the Pentagon Thursday night. 36-year-old John Patrick Bedell died Thursday night after being shot by the officers during the incident. Some of Bedell's friends told the Washington Post today that he, quote, had gone off the deep end. Internet postings showed that Bedell had a lot of anger about the government and that he was a conspiracy theorist. Is this an act of domestic terrorism? Let's see. Does he represent a growing number of extremists in this country? Let's see that. NBC News terrorism analyst Roger Cressy is a security consultant and a former cybersecurity and counterterrorism advisor in the Clinton and Bush administration. Roger, it's great to have you back, but I hate it because it always means more trouble afoot. This guy, who's now passed away, who's been shot dead in the act he was involved with and brought on himself, what is he? Is he a truther, as we call it, someone who believes that the United States government was behind blowing up the World Trade Towers, the Building 7 guy?
Well, at the basic level, Chris, he's one of these anti-government conspiracy adherents. And the people who believe that the government is behind all ill, if you will, be it political or economic, fall into that broader category. One thing we should keep in mind, we got very lucky last night. This guy had a death wish because he went right after the police with his semi-automatic weapons. He could have easily mowed down a number of unarmed civilians, and we would be dealing with a much different set of circumstances today. But I think the important thing to keep in mind here was someone like him is he went off the deep end. He had mental illness. There were warning signs. His parents did the right thing, went to the authorities. But the challenge for law enforcement, Chris, is when do you identify somebody who is suffering from all these problems, who has these conspiracy views, and when do they translate into a violent operational act of terror? That is the problem that law enforcement deals with almost on a daily basis.
You know, if you're in public life like me, on television, for example, we have politics every night, people will come up to me on the street corner. Somebody did that in Georgetown a couple months ago, and he's talking to you quite reasonably, and then they start with that whole thing about, you know, of course you know, don't you? Don't be naive. The government did blow up the World Trade Towers, don't you know? And then they start with Building 7, you know the whole thing, and they get completely expert on this subject. I mean, intellectually, they're fine. They've got all the information. They're quite capable of accumulating information, but their bottom line thing is what you said, this deep, dark notion that everything's explainable by one truth, the government is evil in this case.
So that's right, because people for these very, very traumatic events want simple explanations that explain away why it happened. And blaming the government is the easiest. You know, I jokingly tell people when I speak to them that the problem with conspiracy theories is that it gives the government way too much credit. The government is simply not that good. But you end up with very smart, very intellectually smart people who spin these very plausible, elaborate conspiracy theories. And then if you have a fringe element, be it on the right wing, for example, extremism, who see this and see smart people spinning these type of conspiracy theories, they become attracted to them because, after all, it must explain away what's going on. And once that happens, once they become radicalized about it, and then they start buying weapons, it's all over.
What about the three ingredients? One seems to be a personal experience with the government. Maybe it's a tax problem. We saw that with Joe Stack. And I worked in government for years, and I worked in a Senate office. I know you get people who have one problem with a disability claim they didn't get, or they were fired, or they didn't get promoted, and that one thing becomes a pile of Xeroxes that they carry around all their life and keep growing and will give to anybody they can find. That's one thing, a personal grievance. The other one is they hear something on cable or on radio or something, they buy that. What's the other thing? What is the mental illness part of it? Is there a mental illness part, or is this pure politics?
No, I think for a lot of these people, there are other things that are troubling them. It could be their own economic situation. It could be something to do with their family. Or it could be, in the case of Mr. Bedell, a true bipolar disorder that led him down, that certainly helped him to go down this path. But those who feel they've been wronged by government, whether at the state, local, or federal level, and believe people are either keeping them down or constantly battering them, at some point, the despair that they feel can turn into violence, and that's when they act upon it. The challenge for be it psychologists, psychiatrists, and law enforcement are all the same. How to identify the warning signs from going from someone who has a grievance to someone who decides to act on that grievance by way of violence.
Okay, Roger Cressy, the pro. Thanks so much for coming on and putting it together.
There we are. Okay, now, as promised, I would like to welcome back to the show Kevin Kelso.
Raymond, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks, partner. So, yeah, last time you were on, we were talking a little bit about the Olympics, but also your website, axiomatica.org. So that is looking just fantastic, and I pulled an article off that, the one that I believe that you're the author. It's called The Top 40 Reasons to Doubt the Official 9/11 Story.
Oh, I wish I could claim the authorship for that one, but that one was done by someone far more masterful than myself. It's just something that we posted.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well.
But I'm a avid 9/11 truth activist, so I could recite most of the facts in it from memory.
Nice, nice. Yeah, yeah. I kind of feel the same way as well. You know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of new breaking of the 9/11 story. I mean, you know, well, I mean, there's kind of side stories, like, you know, for example, a week and a half ago was the 1,000th architect and or engineer to sign on to the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. I mean, that's pretty big news, of course, and but
that's pretty big for me, actually. Those people are really, you know, they're all risking their careers by coming out and saying this. This is you know, it's not something that you can just go out and say and people just ignore it. When you're in that field of work, you know, people either look at you as a conspiracy theorist and you know, that means you're crazy according to that news clip that you played earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that could well mean the end of your career. So, you know, you really got to be sure of yourself for one thing as a scientist.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to have some guts.
Sure. We're going to get into that, but, you know, I haven't seen too many buildings. I've only seen it happen three times
in one day.
In my life, and they happened on the same day, you know, buildings that came down from small fires. So imagine that, eh? Now, I also gave the story on Splitting the Sky, and his court case started yesterday, and it ended today. You said that you had something you wanted to mention about that as well?
Yeah, well, it sounded really peculiar to me when you said that the judge sort of wanted to have a drawn-out case and hear all the testimonies.
Yeah, that's
the
way.
And then the next day he came back and changed his mind on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm a poker player, and you know, I know when things are inconsistent that something's up. There's something behind that.
Yeah.
I can't say what, but it sounds like someone got to the judge or someone told him that, hey, we're not gonna hear all this. We're not gonna, you know, air out our dirty laundry and actually, you know, see why it was a legitimate credible case that John Boncour had against George Bush.
Yeah, that's right. Very unfortunate. You know, if Canada were following its laws, that case would certainly be going on tomorrow. And we'd be hearing from Cynthia McKinney and Anthony Hall, the professor out of Lethbridge. You know, they would be giving the laws, you know, that the judge is supposed to follow.
And that would be pretty embarrassing to have to hear that and then, you know, just ignore it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like that's how they're going to play it out. And for a while, I was feeling a little bit sad that maybe they're just going to pull this court case out and just throw it away and say, look, you know, we're not going to waste taxpayers' money on this, and we're just going to forget it, and we're not going to let it go to court.
Sounds about right. Yeah, that's what happens when the real power gets involved, you know.
And that's kind of what happened, you know. The trial was just getting going, and it's been shut down.
People are just too powerful. You look at the Bush family history, and they've had quite a lot of influence over world events for a long time.
Yeah.
George Bush's father was implicated in JFK's assassination and having a major role in that. His grandfather was probably the biggest reason that Hitler was able to come to power. They built their family fortune off of the Nazi war machine.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was able to buy himself a Senate seat.
Yeah.
So.
But that seems to be how it works in the monetary system, right?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah.
Money comes to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's as you know, I let you know beforehand that I was going to be playing the Chris Matthews from Hardball, in which apparently because this Pentagon shooter has blogged things about 9/11 in the past, that they're doing their damnedest to demonize the entire truther movement as being extremists and radical, and look out if we start getting weapons. How frustrating is that?
Yeah, well, you know what? it really shows, it really gives you a look into the internal workings of these corporate media organizations and how they think. You know, the first thing that they did, is, as soon as the story came out, the first thing they attacked is 9/11 truthers. And, you know, what is it that's so threatening about 9/11 truth that they have to associate this movement with this guy who is clearly extremely unstable mentally?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if he went to church, would we be saying that, you know, all Christians are
right,
hate the government and are mentally unstable, you know, just because that guy happened to go be a churchgoer?
Right, yeah, yeah, good point.
So, you know, they immediately connect our group with you know, they also use the word terrorist, so they're connecting our group with mentally ill people and terrorists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Certainly, so, that we're extremists, and you know, I've been in the movement for, let's call it, 4 years now actively, and you know, doing some research a year or two prior to that, and I'm not aware of any extremists. Myself, I'm not saying that there aren't. You know, I mean, people come in all shapes and sizes, and you know, wouldn't surprise me. But the people that I've been working with,
group,
well, of course, yeah, but I'm just not familiar with extremists. In the truthers that I've been having on my show over the last years.
Yeah, no, I've found that the people in our movement are, you know, some of the most level-headed, you know, well-researched people. They don't make claims that they can't back up, and they think very deeply. You know, they don't just look at one thing and jump to conclusions. They, you know, they go really deep into these topics and find out for sure before they speak on it, and then they can be proud and confident when they have the debate with someone because they've done the research and other people are shooting from the hip and going on things that they heard on Fox News.
Yeah, 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 right.
So apparently, you know, all you need to do is give a 9/11 truth activist a gun, and what logically follows is that they turn into a psycho murderer. I guess that's what they're... That's literally what they said on that show.
That's what they're implying, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Very frustrating. Let's talk about how you came to be 9/11 conscious and when you decided to get active and try to do something about it by informing your community. But to take us back to your 9/11 roots.
Well, my story is kind of long and drawn out. It took me a long time to actually, to sort of look at it objectively and neutrally and sort of change my opinion because I didn't have access to these sort of backdoor media things that the internet provides us today. I just sort of was looking at it from face value. It didn't add up to me. I was actually in a writing class at that time, and the first thing that came into my head after this thing happened was I wrote a short story, creative writing sort of thing about, you know, how a government might do something like this to its own people to justify a worldwide war and new century of imperialism and so forth.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It turns out I was pretty close to being on the money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess you read George Orwell, maybe. That might have helped.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But was there one specific example from the 9/11 day or the following cover-up story that sparked you initially?
Well, the buildings collapsing was a big one. I mean, that didn't look like I couldn't understand how a plane could cause something like that. But I actually watched the film Zeitgeist probably a couple years later. You know, it was always just a problem in my head that I never really tried really hard to solve, and then a couple years later I saw the film Zeitgeist, and that made a lot of sense to me, and I did my research and found out about Tower 7 was the other big thing.
Yeah, okay. That Zeitgeist, I've had many 9/11 truthers say that the middle section of Zeitgeist, the second section, is as condensed as it is, it might be one of the best 9/11 presentations.
I think so, yeah. The group that I'm with, Vancouver911Truth.org, it's a classified under the Societies Act. We have a bus that actually toured across the country and went to Ottawa to present a petition to Parliament on September 11th of last year. Might have been, I guess it was a year and a half ago or something like that now. And in that bus, we everywhere we go with it, we still have the bus. We invite people to come on, and we film that section of that film.
Okay, yeah,
we air it for people to see, because we agree that that's probably the best you know, condensed version, as you say.
So the bus is now a movie theater?
Yeah, it's a mobile movie theater.
Right on, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're actually getting together tomorrow, the 11th of every month, to get together, and we're meeting at Robson Square, which is the Vancouver Art Gallery. Going to set up a table and hand out DVDs, their free DVDs and pamphlets and all that kind of stuff for donations.
Very nice. Speaking of Vancouver 9/11 Truth and the Vancouver Olympics, I believe it was Darren. I haven't met Darren myself, but I think he was the fellow behind many of the flags and banners that were in the background of the television broadcasts.
Yeah, that was me, Darren, and probably six or eight more of us.
Awesome.
We all had to pull together for that, because if any one of us were to go out there alone, we'd probably get lynched. And you know what? We almost got lynched anyway.
Okay.
Almost every night there were people swearing at us, pulling at our signs, trying to start fights with us. And you know what? For the majority, those people were working for CTV. They had CTV jackets on, trying to block our sign with a Canadian flag.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy tried to block our sign with a European Union umbrella, which I found quite symbolic and funny.
Interesting, yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah, but,
well,
Darren's the best one. He's got the guts to go and do it in the one-on-one interviews and stuff, which I found just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't had Darren on the show, so I'm not familiar with him. I've had some of the older crew of 9/11 Truth, so very nice. So keep up the great work, and I understand that you guys are putting those segments together and are going to release them, showing all the different times you guys made the Olympic news.
Oh yeah, you got to see that one on YouTube. There's a guy in a CTV jacket.
Is it up already?
Yeah, it's up now.
Okay.
It went up yesterday. There's a guy in a CTV jacket that tells us to take the sign down, and then you can see the same guy shows up later and tries to start a fight with us like three different times. And it shows the banners in the background on 12 straight days of the Olympics, and a couple of Darren's specialties there.
Okay.
And some other people provoking violence towards us, and we were just we were just being as passive and calm as we could. So that, I think that makes us look really good. And another good trick, if someone ever tries to start a fight with you and you don't want to engage it, because you know that's never going to result in anything good for your movement. If you're trying to protest something and someone starts to fight with you, is say, hey, there's kids up here.
Mm.
You're hurting my kid. And then that'll get them to back down, or everyone will look at them like they're the biggest jerk in the world, right?
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
Huh. I thought that was just brilliant that someone said that.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was true, but it was perfect.
Yeah, that is nice.
Because
the guys
were shoving and punching.
Wow, yeah, yeah, that's not okay, is it?
No, I wanted to dissect that video that you, the audio that you played during the break there.
Okay.
One other comment I had on it.
Yeah, please do.
It's another one of those inconsistencies. They say that people want explanations that make it easier to deal with, you know, that make this whole 9/11 thing, it's hard for their mind to deal with it, so they want an easy explanation. Well, you know what? There's never been an explanation of 9/11 that was simple in any way, and they actually use the word simple. So, you know, the so-called conspiracy theories are pretty complex, so that's kind of throws it right out the window. They actually said that the ones who are not afraid of the truth, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but they actually used the word simple and then one sentence later talked about these conspiracy theories as being complicated. So it's totally contradictory what they're saying this whole time.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they're saying, hey, they seem to be well-intentioned, and they seem to be, you know, have their facts together, and yet, you know, we're extremists at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, but you know, people watch the show and they take authority for truth rather than truth as authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Fox News is the authority, and they just say, "Well, Fox News says it must be true," but it's the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's truth that gives you authority.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's a good quote. I should look up who said that, but I like that quote.
Yeah, that's a great one. I've spoken it before, and I'm not remembering who claims authorship of it.
I might even have got it off your Facebook. I'm not sure, but I heard it today, and I just loved it.
Okay, nice, nice.
But if we still have time, I'd like to get into some of the details of 9/11.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're at 8:42, and I'm willing to go for, you know, quite a while. I'll dedicate most of the show to discussing 9/11 if you're good for that.
Wonderful. Well, I need a good warm-up for tomorrow because when you get on the streets, you sometimes get into debates and stuff, and it's really fun to get in those debates and be confident about what you're saying, and people come up and try to challenge you and say you're crazy, and you say, okay, well, what's your evidence to back it up? Let's hear your logic on this, and they bumble around and they spit something out that they heard on Fox News, and you just destroy them. I mean, it's really fun to be competent at something like that that's kind of heart pounding at the same time. So it's kind of like, you know, being really good at sports and just taking someone, you know, playing one-on-one basketball and just beating them really badly. Yeah. It's really fun. People need to get out on the streets and try this stuff because there's nothing that makes you feel more alive.
There you go. I always find it interesting when I'm in discussion on the 9/11 topic, and they use that word conspiracy in the derogatory sense, not knowing what it really means, and not aware that the official story is a conspiracy as well.
By definition,
I'll ask them, well, which conspiracy theory are you talking about? And they don't know what I'm, you know. Then I explain what a conspiracy, you know, that the official story is a, you know, Arabs conspired to do this, right? So that's a fun one to trick them on.
Yeah, I like that one too. And I just say, well, look, my theory has a lot more evidence to support it. So, you know, why don't you look at both sides before you condemn it? You know, Einstein said that condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Yeah, that's a beauty as well.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
Nice. What was I going to say? I was going to say that. I was going to use a quote as well. I'll come back to it. Why don't we get into some of the nuts and bolts of problems in the official story? That sound
let's
good to
it.
You?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
all
very
right.
Nice. So I am going to loosely follow the 40 reasons, and I told our listeners that they can find a copy of this at axiomatica.org. Is it under, do you have a separate section for 9/11? Is that where I found it? I'm not recalling.
Yeah, well, we have a section called Revealing the Matrix, and that's the section all about just anything that's sort of a massive deception, anything that has been fed to us from the top that you know, sort of like in the movie The Matrix, if you sort of take the red pill and look at what The Matrix really is, you'll see how these things, what the purpose is for them, and what they really are. So we've got 9/11 under that as a subcategory of that. We've got the climate change scam, different things like that.
Okay.
You know, the monetary system, eugenics and depopulation, and
sure.
The whole.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues that are, you know, all closely related, it seems.
Yeah, religion. I wanted to drop a plug for is 911truth.org where we got that top 40 story.
Oh, okay, very good. All right. Nice.
Yeah, I don't want to take any credit for something we haven't done.
No, fair enough. Good. I'm glad that you cleared that up for me.
Yeah, we try to post the best of the best stuff we can come across, and once we get all the stuff that we've accumulated on the site, then we will we'll be doing a lot more original stuff, and we invite everybody out there to come on and post the stuff that they've found that's interesting, and they can write their own original stuff if they want to engage in a debate. There's a good debate going on the site about a false arrest that happened to me, about whether an officer has to provide ID when requested. There's all kinds of things. If people want to just throw out a rant, just something that bugs them that they want to speak about, then come on down and throw something up there.
Good.
Anything you want to put is welcome.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so that's axiomatica.org. That's AXIOMatica.
Yes.
Okay.
And the site's getting big. We're getting a lot of interest right off the bat.
Good to hear. I do remember what I was going to say a moment ago concerning the official 9/11 story, and I had only recently read this, and I thought, my goodness, this is absolutely correct. And it being that in the very first hour after the attacks on September 11, 2001, the story given turns out to be the official story. Bang on. It never changed. I mean, is that not something that makes you go, they nailed it right off the bat? I don't think so.
Yeah, they must be the best journalists in the world. They, in fact, actually, over in... on the BBC, they reported the World Trade Center 7 collapsing quite a bit before it actually happened.
That's right, 20 minutes before, yeah.
So, and I mean, it's never happened before in history that an office fire could take down a steel frame building.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So I don't know how they predicted that, but they must be geniuses.
Yeah, yeah, they're good at it.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of controversy actually about that fact that happened, because the official story is well, they've changed it a couple times, but it's thermal expansion separated the joists from the most important core columns, causing, you know, free fall speed collapse into its own footprint.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that, well, okay, well, now we can't insure any building in the world. We have to change the building code for the whole world, because any office fire could make an entire building collapse.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say was, you're talking about what's new in the truth movement. The only other thing I can think of is the Danish scientist Niels Harrit from the University of Copenhagen. He's a PhD in chemistry.
I know the name, yeah.
He, I guess it was pretty well known that he investigated, he dissected the dust. You know, he looked closely at the dust and found unexploded thermite, which is an incendiary, which could only come from controlled demolition.
Mm-hmm.
He found the little iron microspheres, which are evidence of that. But that's not the new news. The new news is that he actually sued the Danish media to report this story, because by law in Denmark, you have to report major stories that are coming out. And he won, and the media is reporting on it there. So it's pretty much mainstream news over there.
Okay.
And he had an interesting quote saying that once you learn of this, you have to either come forward with it or live on in shame.
Mm.
So okay. It was a matter of honor and principle for him.
Yeah,
and I think everyone out there should be the same way. Once you know about this, the reality of this, you have to do whatever you can about it. I mean, even if it's just to discuss it with your friends and burn a DVD, you know, you're going to be living in shame if you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a mass murder. We've got, you know, an imperial war that's being fought on the basis of this hoax. Canada's in Afghanistan because of this. You know,
yeah.
We can't forget that this thing isn't behind us. We got to end this war.
That's a really good point. Absolutely, we need to disassociate ourselves from the American Empire, and you know, now we're doing their fighting for them as well. Very frustrating.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I've got friends going over there to die. They don't even know what they're dying for.
Mm-mm-mm.
Depleted uranium and all the rest.
Yeah, who knows what they might come back with. That's right.
Yeah, Gulf War Syndrome. They call it Al-Qaeda Syndrome or something.
Right. Okay, well, let's move on to the topic of the air defense failures.
The most heavily defended building in the world.
Yeah. You know, the Pentagon was hit. The Trade Towers were hit. And it seems that the agencies in charge of that, every one of them dropped the ball. I don't know how Osama bin Laden got the entire American military to appear to stand down. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that one is a big one for me, too. And I can't remember how long it was, but it's something like an hour that the only plane in the entire skies of the continent was the one that was headed directly for the Pentagon.
Hmm.
And... what was the guy's name? It was Mineta.
Norman Mineta.
Mineta testified that Dick Cheney was in command. I don't know why Bush wasn't in command, but I guess his speaking engagement with kindergartners was more important. I guess their intellectual level is more fitting for him anyway.
Yes.
Cheney was in command, and they said, hey, there's a plane flying straight for the Pentagon. Should we engage? Which means... you know, put a plane up next to it and look in the windows to see what's going on. This similar to what they did with Payne Stewart's flight when the cabin depressurized, they put a plane up right next to it.
Yeah, that happens approximately once a week in U.S. Airspace, so it's very common.
They can scramble a fighter jet in 6 minutes to be up next to the wing. I mean, and with the Pentagon, I'm sure it's much faster.
Yeah.
So it's flying every 10 miles. It's getting closer, and he's saying, "Are we going to do anything about this?" He's saying no. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, supposedly a plane crashes into the building. Yeah. We don't really have any evidence of a plane crashing into this Pentagon, but I'm still confused on that one.
Yeah, so something definitely hit it, something flying, but they won't release any video footage to prove that it was a full-size Airbus.
And I can't think of any good reason, and I certainly didn't see any titanium jet engines, which I guess they must have vaporized on contact. Another physical anomaly that's never happened before or after.
Yeah. You look at the pictures, and the other thing concerning the Pentagon is that the hole was very, very tiny, and it shot through multiple rings of the Pentagon. I mean, extremely powerful thing. You know, as most of us know, the front of a large airplane is basically nothing. You know, the engines are on the side. You know, that's where all the weight is.
Yeah, it's made of aluminum.
And
you might as well try to drive a tin can into the most heavily fortified building there is.
Yeah, so the two most dense pieces of the airplane, the engines, you know, which are absolutely massive, did not even appear to hit the building, and they certainly didn't cause any damage.
And
the official story is that they folded in on themselves somehow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At those speeds, they would definitely collapse, they would contact the walls, and you would see the damage, and you would also see damage on the lawn. I mean, it's only, what, five-story tall building or something like that?
Yeah. And hit it in basically the first floor.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one in the world that could fly so perfectly that they could hit a five-story building on the first floor and not touch the grass beside it.
Yeah, let alone the pilot, Hani Handour, supposedly. I highly doubt that he was in... Well, we don't even know for sure that he was in the plane, let alone that he was the pilot. It's probably impossible for him to have been the pilot. The trajectory that the plane flew, it came down a tremendous altitude drop, as well as making basically a 360 turn to hit the empty side of the Pentagon, and where they would have wanted to hit the other side, where all the, Rumsfeld was, where all the brass were. So a lot of problems with the Pentagon, for sure.
No, I know why they hit that part of the Pentagon. That was where they had the documents which tells you where the missing $2.1 trillion were. That was announced in the Washington Post on September 10th, 2001, that there was $2.1 trillion missing from the Pentagon, but that investigation never came about after that because I guess they were destroyed in that part of the building.
Okay, I didn't know that. The other thing is that Andrews Air Force Base, whose job it is to protect the Capitol, they all fell asleep that day, and they didn't manage to get a plane up until after the Pentagon had been hit, and that's just that's impossible to believe. And the other thing is important that people know that the chain of command, no one went to prison for dereliction of duty. No one was reprimanded. As a matter of fact, the senior guys got raises, new postings.
Yeah. At the very least, it's criminal neglect.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm driving my car and I decide I'm going to climb into the back seat to get a sandwich or something, and I crash into someone, well, maybe I didn't try to kill them, but I was criminally negligent.
Yeah.
Right? These guys are in charge of some pretty serious stuff. I mean, they should be held accountable for even if all they did was screw up.
Yeah.
There should be a trial about that.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Shall we move on to another point?
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got war games. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that subject and what that did to...
Yeah, well, maybe it's a coincidence, but there were simultaneously several war games going on that... reenacted or pre-enacted the exact scenario that was going on 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, to a T. I mean, people hijacking planes and crashing them into
major targets. Yeah,
major targets in the northeast quadrant of the country. I mean, it's the similarities they go forever. I mean, someone did the math, and it's kind of speculative and arbitrary how they came up with this number, but they said that the odds of war games going on with the exact same everything, with all the same details,
right,
were it's 1 with 36 zeros behind it against for every time that's possible.
No shit, eh?
Yeah.
And
in the 7/7 bombings in London, the same thing. They were doing training for the exact same event that happened there. And my theory on that is that that's sort of how you pull this sort of thing off is if anyone figures out what you're doing, you say, no, no, it's just an exercise, right? And then also it makes things blurry when if someone tries to stop you, like they did with the plane that crashed in Shanksville. It seems to me that a fighter jet probably shot down the plane that crashed in Shanksville, and they covered that up. And that's somebody who realized what was happening and wanted to stop it in spite of probably what his orders were.
Yeah.
Right? But the way they stop that kind of thing from happening is that they have these war games and people are confused about whether it's real world or exercise.
That's right, yeah.
By the time they figure it out, it's too late.
Yeah, good point.
And all these people that are unknowingly participating in it, they think that they're just part of an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
When it's too late, they don't want to speak out because they know they'll lose their job or be killed, or they just don't want to look like being one of the people that screwed up.
Right, right.
They're not going to say anything.
Well, it's also important to remind listeners that the way the chain of command, it's very departmentalized.
Right.
That you're only going to know a little bit. You're not going to know what Joe down the road is doing or what, you know, Frank above you is doing. You know, you're only going to know your little piece.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have a whole lot of goods to go out and say, hey, I can prove that it was the states that conspired factions within the American military complex that pulled this off.
Yeah, you're only going to have a small piece of the puzzle, and you have no contact with the other people who have the other pieces. They say that something like 100-150 people could have 150 knowing people could have pulled this off, and the other people could have just been useful idiots.
Yeah, certainly. One of the things that's really interesting about this kind of war game discussion is that both Bush and Condi Rice said, I believe numerous times, that no one could have come up with such a plan of flying a plane into a building, that no one had ever thought of it on the planet before, and that these Muslim terrorists are absolutely geniuses in coming up with this.
Except for the war game that was doing the exact same scenario.
Yeah, except for that, eh? That's a bit of a problem.
And then there's the... there's a book by who is it?
Michael Rupert?
No, I think it's a Tom Clancy book.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Back,
that's right.
That he describes terrorists hijacking planes and crashing them into major targets.
That's right.
And then there was an X-Files episode where that was come up with. So
yeah.
I don't know.
It was far from a new idea. Yeah.
It's not a new idea. I'm not saying those guys are in on anything, but. Certainly it had been thought of before, and especially for the exercises they were doing that day.
That's right. Yeah, good point. Kevin Kelso of the Vancouver 9/11 Truth. They're also a co-host on CFRO's Monday Brown Bagger radio program. What day? No, I know what day of the week. What time is that?
It's at noon, and the next one's on. The next one for me is on March 29th.
Okay. Do you know
we're
what you're doing?
We're going to have West Op Union on.
Okay.
And we're going to have Hal Cooper on. Sweatshop Union is a local hip-hop group that's very, very conscious. They have raps about how they're controlled through fear. And, we're going to get into it with them. But I think that they understand how the Matrix really works.
Good.
And the other one is Hal Cooper. He's talking about rail infrastructure as his specialty. So we're going to talk about how we can use rail infrastructure to revolutionize the world. And sort of free us from this the system which keeps us compartmentalized and keeps our technology minimalized so that we cannot be self-sufficient.
Yeah. Okay. Very nice. Now, getting into that, Kevin Kelso, I need to do a quick ad here. We're at the top of the hour, so if you will please stay on the line, and we'll get back. Are you good to keep going?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
We're getting started.
All right, absolutely. Yep. So this is a short piece. So hang tight, and I'll be back to you in a sec, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Okay, friends, I just want to let you know that you are listening to the Unbought and Unbossed radio show, and this is CHLY 101.7 FM in the central Vancouver Island area. We're also streaming live on the internet, so you can visit our website www.chly.ca, and there is a listen here link. You can click on that, and if you're going to do that, I would appreciate if you use the lowest bandwidth. Don't be a bandwidth hog, okay? So be groovy with me on that one. And let's get to this this advertisement, shall we? Back in a sec. Okay, very nice. That is an advertisement for you there, and we're going to I'm going to be doing the campus community updates in about 20 minutes from now, so we'll have a little bit more information of what's going on. So, Kevin Kelso, you still on the air?
I'm still with you.
All right on, buddy. Well, let's continue on. I think we I'm going to say that we're finished talking about the war games right now, because that was point number four out of 40, and so yeah, you know what I'm saying. Let's move on to Flight 93. Now that was the one that landed in Pennsylvania, and very peculiar. Why don't you tell me some of the peculiar things about Flight 93? What's up with that?
Well, the big thing for me was that there's a discrepancy between what time it crashed at, and that's a pretty big thing, because there should not be a discrepancy. There's no reason for that.
Yeah, there's a 3 minute. We don't know when the plane crashed. There's two different, and they're 3 minutes apart. So.
Right, and the other thing is, if something were to crash into the ground, how far can a titanium, what is it, 5 tons or 10-ton jet engine fly? I mean, they're claiming that the engine hit the ground when this thing crashed, and it bounced and flew several miles away from the crash site.
Yeah.
Which is just completely impossible. It's not a basketball. The only explanation is that it was shot down, and it broke apart in midair, and the debris was scattered.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is consistent with what you find on the ground, is very little debris in one place, and it's all scattered at various places.
Yeah.
It's actually a court case that was only semi-related to this, and one of the top guys, I don't know if it was Rumsfeld, but one of the top guys had a slip of the lip, and he actually stated that Flight 93 was shot down.
That's right, yeah.
You can look at that on YouTube. That's pretty interesting, some of these mind flips that we see.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned an interesting thing to start off, that there's a three-minute discrepancy. Now, this, for those who don't know, Flight 93 is the one with all the heroes on it, that they overtook the terrorists in air, and attempted to save the day, but they did. They crashed, apparently. And the official story says is that the entire plane was submerged. Most of the plane disappeared. It just went into the earth, into a tiny little hole, about a third the size of the wingspan. With a little bit of fire, and there was first responders there saying, well, where's the plane, where's the bodies, where's the blood? There's what are you saying happened here? Because we can't tell. There's no plane here. Now, I am not aware of another plane that's landed, and you know, there's no debris left. Someone has claimed that, yeah, it's happened before, but I find that hard to believe myself.
Yeah, and there's a seismic report that that measures, you know, any sort of seismic activity in the ground if some sort of major boom happened. And that was at 10:06, but the official story says 10:03, so there's obviously some kind of cover-up there, because 3 minutes is very significant. I mean, you can definitely tell the difference between 10:03 and 10:06. It's not like 30-second difference.
Yeah, that's right. So what happened in the last 3 minutes?
Well, that's what we need a new investigation to find out.
Well, I've heard the theory that it is possible that the people on the plane did in fact attempt to act like heroes, and busted into the cockpit. However, I believe that the planes were being flown by remote control myself. I don't see amateur pilots. Well, they weren't even pilots. I can't imagine how these fellows could do it. So, you know, I mean, that is a problem as well. And so that to follow that story, perhaps some of these hero people got into the cockpit and are trying to change things and trying to correct the plane's flight, and well, it was still going down, probably because it was shot for one, more than likely. But there's a lot of problems with this story, and we don't know what happened, and it's a tough one. And is it there's a guy in one of the islands here in off of Vancouver Island that wrote a book just on that flight.
Oh, really?
Ian Henton. Is it Ian Henschel or... No, I think that was the co-author of the first book that these two chaps, son of a gun, I'm not, starts with an M. Ah, darn it. And I only have one phone line, unfortunately. How many phone lines do you have at CFRO?
We got a couple. We had we actually took call-ins on Monday, and we had two of the lines light up. So I was pretty happy that we had enough callers to fill two of the lines.
Yeah,
I used to call into a show and try to bring up the 9/11 topic, and I would be the only one who ever called in, and that was a major station. So pretty happy that we had enough people to get two lines filled up.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I've only got one line, so that means I can't take any phone calls because you're in North Van. There we are. Let's move on to another topic. And now, so this is leaving the day. It's the day itself, evidence of complicity, and so this is, again, the same day, and possible smoking guns is how the outline is on this, the top 40 reasons to doubt the official story. So this is point number six, and it's talking about cell phones. Could they work at 30,000 feet where the Flight 93, that is where it was cruising at when all these people apparently made phone calls to their loved ones? And, you know, that is basically how the hero story happened. However, we find out that none of those phone calls were actually made.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you know about that I didn't mention?
Well, at that time, in 2001, it was technologically impossible. The planes were not equipped with what basically amounts to amplifiers of microwave signals, so they can't retransmit a microwave signal from a plane at that date, except for maybe in the presidential plane or something like that, the Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves the question, well, there's all these phone calls that people receive that are recorded and stuff, but and they were played for the public, and people say, yeah, you know, that's her.
The voice, yeah.
It's not faked. But a lot of these people that got these calls were they're high-level officials and some very corrupt individuals themselves, so you don't really trust those people completely in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the issue of a project called Echelon. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
I've heard of it, but please tell me more. It's not coming to mind right now.
It's a very high-level government, I guess they call it an operation Echelon. And there's different levels of it that collect different data, but it basically covers collecting all, I think it's under NSA, and it collects all of the information transfers, just all of them, whether it's emails, phone calls, communications, everything. They just have, they keep track of every single one between every person in the whole world. It's so high level that they can just, archive all of it.
Right.
And this means there's also been some demonstrated evidence that the same program has the technology to recreate, as far-fetched as this sounds, there is evidence out there that this program has the technology to recreate someone's voice and speaking mannerisms, is that the right word?
Mannerisms, sure,
yeah. And to recreate how someone would speak.
Yeah, that's right.
So it is possible, at least you could say that it's possible for one of those phone calls to have been falsified.
Yeah, well, there's one, the most famous example for me is, I hope I have the name right, and apparently the phone call went as this, bring, 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 mom answers the phone, mom, it's me, Mark Bingham. Now, I've never done that before when I call mom, I have to give her my full name. So she knows that I'm her son, but, you know, that's pretty fishy if you ask me.
Yeah, really. I mean, maybe your first name, but even still, you know.
Yeah.
That's so,
very suspicious. Shall we move on to a big one here? And I have a feeling we might stick on this one for a short while. It's the demolition hypothesis. It does appear the truthers believe that all three of the buildings were blown up with any number of things, but it seems the chemist that you're talking about, as well as the physicist Stephen Jones,
right,
have both claimed to prove that they found thermite again, this high-end incendiary that that took the metal out of the way, you know, in order for it to be, well, blown up to pieces.
Yeah, and there's thermite, and there's thermite, and I think it's thermite that is the one that is patented by the U.S. military, and they're among the only groups in the world that, that really have the substance at their disposal to say, you know, lace thousands of beams with charges that and this stuff is you can actually make it out of iron rust. And there's just one other ingredient, and so that's thermite. And you could put it on the hood of a car, and it would melt through the hood, it would melt through the engine block, and then it would continue melting through the concrete beneath. But thermite and nanothermite, which is the leading edge of this technology, they're able to do this in a directed fashion and on a micro molecular level. So that it cuts through like a knife through butter through a beam at a very fast and controlled way. So there's actually pictures of the beams from the towers from the wreckage that are cut on a 45-degree angle, which is exactly what you would do. And I can't think of another way that a beam would be perfectly cut on a 45-degree angle from a pancake collapse or whatever the theory of today is.
I think that one of the biggest problems with the buildings coming down is that the number of professionals, the first responders, that stated that they heard explosives prior to the buildings coming down. You know, and as well, there's video footage of it. There's audio footage as well as testimony from the first responders. You know, so there were many explosions, and the official story doesn't include any explosions.
Yeah, it's all too familiar. I think there was similar stories at Oklahoma City. But there's also the very credible, I mean, these firefighters and policemen are very credible themselves, but there's also the very credible testimony of William Rodriguez, the last man out, as they say, who was the head janitor. He'd been janitor there for decades, had all the keys, and he actually was a major hero that day. He went around and unlocked doors so people could get out. And saved quite a few lives.
Yeah.
But he witnessed some very shocking things, and he goes on speaking tours now to tell about how the official story is complete and utter lie.
That's right.
He can tell you from firsthand experience that he saw people, he witnessed explosions and felt explosions at the lower levels, and saw people coming out on the lower levels with their skin melted off and things like that.
Yeah.
You could say, yeah, well, maybe the jet fuel, if it didn't all incinerate on impact, which it did, maybe the jet fuel dropped down all the way down the elevator shafts and burned people. But he witnessed these things before the planes hit.
That's right. That's right.
And there was Barry Jennings who witnessed witnessed explosions happening beforehand. Who later was this man disappeared.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us.
Yeah, that's right. He was inside World Trade Center 7 prior to it going down, and he said that it was hell there. The explosions were so large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did want to mention we were talking about the cell phones, and it was a Canadian, Key Dudney, out of Eastern Canada, who did the research with multiple cell phones and multiple heights, and so he's the fellow that did the research. I'm sure he spent a lot of money on the flights, but anyway. So back to the demolition hypothesis. Of course, the big name is Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. They've recently celebrated their 1,000th confirmed architect and or engineer that have signed on, and we spoke a little bit about that earlier. And these brave people that you know, they're putting their professional expertise, you know, on the line and saying, you know, we need a new investigation. The official story cannot be true for the following reasons. So good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are real heroes because they have a lot more to lose than someone like me who's speaking out about this. These guys are you know, they could easily go through their whole lives, you know, living in shame, I suppose, but, you know, comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of them have had to make their livings writing books on this topic because they are not so welcome in their community anymore. You know, they have lost their jobs. Many of them have lost their jobs.
Right.
There's also about 100 people who have lost their lives over the whistleblowing they've done on this topic.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
And then you get to the overwhelming evidence of prior knowledge. You've got Israeli, Saudi, British, American, German, etc. Intelligence agencies that knew about this. There were countless cases, including there's a, I can't remember the guy's name. I don't know if you've seen Fabled Enemies, but there was a very famous actor who he sat on the airline with some very suspicious guys and actually went to the FBI to tell them about this and that they might be planning terrorist attacks or something. He was told to shut up. And
James Woods is who it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. For some reason, I'm thinking Kevin Bacon, but okay, James Woods.
Hmm.
And, he went and a few people came forward with this stuff beforehand and the investigation was blocked. And, of course, the investigation was blocked afterwards. There was
a lot of FBI investigators who caught on to, various threads that, mm-hmm. you know, something was going down. And in every case, the seniors shut down that, that investigation. It's over.
How about John O'Neill?
He died, didn't he? He had information.
Oh, get this one. He was probably the number one leading expert on Osama bin Laden and his whereabouts and what he was up to,
right,
in the whole world, and he would be the number one guy who could tell you what Osama bin Laden, what part he played in that event. And this guy unfortunately got relocated to the 100-something story of World Trade Center 1 on September 10th. His first day at work was September 11th at the, you know, the top of the building where he has, you know, zero chance of getting out.
Yeah, yeah. Rather convenient, I'd say, eh?
Yeah.
Hmm. I hear you, man. You know what? It's 20 after the hour. Excuse me, Kevin Kelso. I do need to take care of some business again. This is going to be about 3 minutes. If you would like to stay on the line, that would be nice. What are your thoughts on this? Do you have a little bit more time for us?
Oh, yeah, we're only halfway.
Well, the time says we're past halfway, but, yeah, we're only a tenth of the way as far as I know what you're saying, man.
1/100th, yeah. Well, we'll get to the good stuff. I'm not Michael Moore. I'll cover the nitty-gritty here.
Okay, very good. So you hang tight. You'll have enough time to go wet your whistle if you need to do, and I'm going to get on the song that I put on for the events update. So hang tight, and we'll be back shortly, okay?
Okay.
Very nice. Thanks, Kevin. I've turned your volume down. So, Kevin Kelso, we're chatting 9/11, some of the problems in the official story. I wish we had that second phone line. You know what? It's I don't know if this is possible or not. I'm not too sure what it would cost to get a second or third phone line in here. But the fun drive is coming up, and that's the first time I've mentioned that. And it's maybe in a month. Maybe 5-6 episodes down the road, and the last fun drive, unbought and unbossed, this 9/11 and New World Order radio show was the second highest grossing fun bringer inner, and I'm really, really happy about that, you know, because I think the time before I was 3, and the time before that I might have been 5, and you know what, I'm shooting for number 1, and Dave-O, look out, buddy, I've got my sights at dethroning you from the number one money generator. Now, he happens to be at prime time, and I'm in evening time, so I think that my fans are awesome. That's where I'm going with this. So save up your money, save up your pop cans, and let's donate money to CHLY, because for real, that's the only way we stay on the air. Okay, that's the truth of that. Let's get John Lennon saying that he doesn't want you to be a soldier. Neither do I.
job.
Okay, so the dates for the rescheduling production will be announced later. Okay, so thank you to Frank Moore and the Western Edge Theater Company. And isn't that sad that we're not funding the arts right now? We've got too many tax cuts to make up, you know, these corporations. Premier Campbell said that he wanted BC to have the lowest corporate tax rate in North America. And, well, I guess this is what happens when you have a leader that aims for that. Very frustrating, I would say. Okay, now I do want to thank the financial supporters of CHLY and this show for financially supporting CHLY. So they are as follows: warcriminalsout.com, falseflagflu.com, as well as Roberts Creek Vice. And the Vice is wants to remind you that silence is complicity. So well done. So those five groups that I mention every week, sometimes I forgot. I'm sorry, guys. I forget. But they all paid at least $150 donation during either the last or the previous fund drive to get their spot, their mention. So that's very cool. I hope that I get five more coming up for this next fund drive to be in next month. So there we are, and gee, I think I've been more than 2 or 3 minutes. I hope Kevin is still there. Let's turn John Lennon off. And Kevin, you still with me, buddy?
Oh, I didn't go anywhere.
Right on, man. Okay, thanks for hanging in there. What a sad story about the theater group, you know, having to postpone productions because their funding's not coming through.
Yeah, well, the arts get put to the wayside so we can, service the elites and make sure they're rich.
That seems pretty much bang on. Now I'm thinking I'm going to go maybe another 15 minutes max with you and I on this subject. So maybe I can ask you. We haven't got to too many of these smoking gun examples, and I thought maybe I would let you bring up topics if you would like.
Yeah, well,
all right. So yeah, what's sticking out? What are other tricky points in the official story that people need to become aware about?
Well, the physics, the laws of physics were broken down that day. You know, you can't have a 100-and-something story building collapse into its own footprint at virtually the speed of gravity and turn into micro dust without the aid of some sort of incendiary. It's just not possible because, you know, the original theory is a pancake theory, where each floor, the weight of each floor coming down made the next one break off of its beam as well. But that would leave a bunch of floors stacked up at the bottom and a bunch of beams still standing. And it also, you know, there's no way you can slice it that makes it okay to have this thing come down so fast with no resistance, because anyone who understands physics knows that if there's resistance beneath something that's coming down, it's going to slow it down.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
this thing came down at, you know, the same speed that you drop a bowling ball from the top of the tower. The bowling ball would only get to the ground about a second faster. And then you have the third tower, which wasn't even hit by a plane. It wasn't even adjacent to the buildings. It was two buildings over that most people didn't even hear about this tower collapsing.
Yeah, that's right.
47 stories would be the second tallest building in Vancouver, or at least it would have been a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big building that just collapsed from a couple isolated office fires. I mean, there's not much damage to this building. There's a chunk out of one side of it, but if anything, that would make it collapse to one side.
Yeah, yeah. But it's very important to remember who was in that building, the different governmental offices that had, well, for example, the history and the records of the court cases of
Enron.
Well, Enron, as well as all of Wall Street, their misdeeds, all the files were kept in that building.
How convenient. And
how
he's also
convenient.
Got the Federal Emergency Management Associate, or whatever the last letter is, FEMA, which has become an overblown, just a monstrous arm of the government. They were there, and Giuliani was supposed to be in there commanding things, but for some reason they knew ahead of time not to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got...
That's right. I believe Giuliani stated that morning that they feared that the building was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, which again, you pointed out that that's
history.
Never happened. Yeah. So why would anyone suspect that?
I don't know. There's even evidence that there was. I saw a video where there's people doing a countdown. They're like, okay, the building's going to collapse in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, that's on tape, as a matter of fact. I believe that there's audio of that going down.
Yeah, and the firemen are like, everyone move back. It's going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fishy.
Yep.
What else I wanted to get into was Al-Qaeda. What is Al-Qaeda?
Okay, good.
Okay, Al-Qaeda means the database.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a terrorist organization. It's a list of CIA assets who historically were used by the CIA to smuggle arms and probably drugs and fight against the Russians, because the United States set up this war between Russia and Afghanistan in the 70s to give Russia their own version of Vietnam, which would cripple them from being able to defend against American imperialism.
Right, right.
So it's well documented that the Al-Qaeda is a derivative of what was originally called Mujahideen, which means the freedom fighters, by the way. They were blasted all over the media as being heroes and freedom fighters fighting against the big evil Russians at the time. Now it's the exact same guys who were funded, trained, and created by the CIA. They were a publicly referred to as a CIA asset for decades, and there's a CIA whistleblower who said that they were and still are a CIA asset right up until 9/11.
Hmm.
So you've got that in the background. You've got a military force massing outside of Afghanistan September 10th, 2001, just waiting for a reason to go in. You've got the Project for a New American Century, which was a major contributor was Donald Rumsfeld, who was a major contributor in 9/11 too. This is a group of business associates, I guess, that were all to do with the military-industrial complex and mm-hmm. trying to plan out their future for how they're going to continue to rake in the cash by having endless wars that that require their oil and their military machinery, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the New American Century was a new century, 100 years of American imperialism and endless wars. But it's a great plan, but they had nothing to instigate it. They needed what they said, what they called a new Pearl Harbor, which would justify the invasion of any country that could be perceived as Al-Qaeda friendly, such as Iraq, obviously Afghanistan, and now they're talking about going into Yemen. Well, Yemen is a very strategic place, just like those other ones are. They're right in the middle of the grand chessboard.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's a coincidence that Al-Qaeda happens to reside there, but those are exactly where the U.S. military needs to occupy next to control the world's resources and shipping lanes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that has come out of that is now that the battlefields seem to be somewhat in place for this never-ending war of terror, abroad, they're also labeling persons like yourself and myself as extremists, and I'm a little bit frightened of where this is going to go. You know, it only takes a couple more kooky people to do some stupid things, or you know, maybe they're graduates of American brainwashing, you know, which they claim they stopped doing, 35 years ago, working in that field, but. I don't know.
Well, they're already starting to train the official, police and the border guards that if you have a 9/11 DVD, you're a possible terrorist. so they're evoking this emotional fear response with this this loaded term, which is called a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's into conspiracy theories, this term evokes an emotional response, and people just shut their mind off and go into angry mode or fear mode.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so frustrating because I personally believe for the most part that the world runs through conspiring. You know, I don't think that the regular people have a real say in anything. I think it's all done privately in closed doors.
Well, when you look at even what's admitted to how much power is held in the hands of so few plutocrats, it's ridiculous to think that things don't happen for a reason, that everything's a coincidence, and to not be able to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. I mean, the media is really good at keeping the dots separate. Everything's compartmentalized,
yeah.
But all you got to do is connect the dots and say, hey, you know, the short options, which means betting against a stock going up, betting that a stock will go down, short options went up like 4,000% or 800% or some crazy number right before September 11th, and they all made money based on which flight airlines were going to be involved and which stocks were going to go down.
Yeah, the insider trading.
You know, that's a coincidence now? Come on.
That's a good one. And I think the commission, while mostly ignoring it, I think they left this to a footnote at the end of the book stating that the people who made the profits weren't related to Al-Qaeda.
Well,
no shit.
That's how you look at it.
Yes, you're right. They weren't part of Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda wasn't behind this operation. It was far too big and complex, and they needed they needed the big boys, and that seemed to include most of America's defenses, certainly. Their poop was all in a group.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of rich people that got a lot richer, including Larry Silverstein, the owner of the towers. He overinsured his buildings for just in case there was an act of terrorism. He overinsured both buildings for that and got paid twice. On buildings that were white elephants. They were filled with asbestos and
that had to go. Yeah,
that was going to cost him a lot of money. But also, you've got Saudi Arabian intelligence. The Saudi Arabian royalty, they I think they had a real big part in this, but it might have to be subject for another time. You mentioned the 9/11 Commission report, and that one is really big for me.
Okay.
There were two people that were heading, they were co-equal heads of the commission.
Yeah.
One of them said that the whole thing was set up to fail. It was a big farce. Six of the 10 commissioners, I don't know how to put this, but they disagreed with the findings, or they still have questions, or they found it all to be not properly investigated.
Right, as well as stating that the military has lied to them, and they know they've been lied to, and they acknowledge that we don't have the full truth.
Exactly, yeah. Bush was blocking the commission from the beginning. He did not want to have one. Cheney's the real villain here. He was blocking it too. All the intelligence agencies stonewalled the commission. They wouldn't give them any information. The commission spent 1/20th the amount of what they spent on the Monica Lewinsky investigation.
Right,
so they spent 20 times as much investigating that as 9/11. I mean, the purpose of the commission was to answer all the questions of the victims' families.
Mm-hmm.
And the victims' families themselves submitted the questions, and only 70% of them were answered, or 70% of them were unanswered. And the head of the biggest families group, victims' families group, said that he thinks it was an inside job. And these are the people that, you know, they certainly don't want to have to believe that, but, you know, they're the people that look at it most closely.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they've got some insider information, too. So, you know, they're a really good... I'm not sure what to say, but they're really good people to listen to for a reason for that you should do your own investigation.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And what we're trying to do in Vancouver 9/11 Truth Movement is, and around the world, is to just try to get a new proper independent investigation with subpoena power that wasn't full of people that were appointed by the Bush administration.
Yeah.
That can actually bring people into court and question them and see if their story adds up.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what I think all 9/11 truthers are looking forward to. Unfortunately, if I can come back to the news with splitting the skies court case ending,
yeah.
And you know, the full evidence not being brought to be uncovered, you know, that's not looking too good, because, you know, that's a pretty major court case, and, you know, it
sure.
could have been huge worldwide if, you know, we had a judge who worked for, you know, honesty and humanity and the rule of law. You know, they'd be back in court tomorrow with Cynthia McKinney, you know, presenting, you know, because she was a congresswoman when it went down, you know.
I had her on my show. She spoke out about it, and she's the only one who wouldn't bring it back to her constituents and feed them the lie that this happened to America because of people that hate freedom. Nobody hates freedom. Even if you are an Al-Qaeda terrorist that wants to destroy America, it's not because you hate freedom. It's because you love freedom and you think America, you know, might be a little bit misplaced rage or the wrong way to go about it. But you think that the only way to bring freedom to your people is to, you know, destroy America or cause destruction to bring attention to your cause.
Yeah, that's a pretty weak explanation, and that's, you know, they pump that in, you know, 24 hours a day, you know.
They pump it in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tribalism, right? They're pitting one group against the other because if they're not busy fighting each other, they'll realize who the real enemy is.
Mm, yeah, that's right. Divide and conquer. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
We're going to wind down here, but I would like to know websites that you recommend, as well as 9/11 authors or lecturers that you would suggest that people look up if they're new to the 9/11 story.
Yeah, well, Dr. David Ray Griffin is great. I think he's the most prolific. He's written countless books, and he's countered all of the biggest arguments against our movement. I think he wrote a book called Debunking 9/11, Debunking.
That's right, yeah.
Which was a response to a book by the former name. And there's globalresearch.ca is a great site with lots and lots of original content, 9/11, War on Terror, and all kinds of other things about, different wars and energy problems, poverty, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, very good.
WeAreChangeVancouver.org, Vancouver911Truth.org.
Yeah, now those websites have lots of links and videos to be found and articles, so they're both a wealth of information there.
Absolutely, yeah. I wanted to say something about what you said during the break, which was about your fund drive there.
Okay.
And I know that it's hard to ask people for money, but if people out there are enjoying this show, you know, freedom isn't free. You got to do something to keep the freedom of speech possible. It's the Unbought and Unbiased radio show.
Unbought and Unbossed, yeah.
Unbossed, and if you guys want it to remain unbought, well, you're going to have to sponsor it yourself.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's going to become some corporate sellout because there's nothing keeping it afloat, and that's happening at all the major radio, all the independent radio stations in Canada. Is they're being run into the ground on purpose and then bought out by corporations, and you start hearing the same propaganda that you are used to.
Yeah. I fear in the future, if things continue down this totalitarian tiptoe, that public airwaves are no longer going to be public. I'd have a feeling it's going to be completely corporatized, and we're not going to have campus and community stations. And that's just sounds pretty pessimistic, but the way I see media concentration going, it's not looking good, and I obviously hope I'm wrong, and I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, not make it so. But
well, there's reason to have hope because the internet is bigger than ever. The major newspapers are starting to fail. I'm telling you, a lot of people are starting to doubt the what the media is saying. There's all kinds of research and polls that suggest that people do not believe what they're hearing on TV anymore, and they're looking elsewhere for their info.
Yeah, good.
So
good.
There is hope, but it's a dynamic that maybe we are moving towards more fascist situation like that. But it's also you can see that they're getting desperate, and you can see that there's a mass awakening, and the momentum is on our side. Our forces are building, and once you learn how it works, no one goes back.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
So we can only get our side can only become bigger and stronger, and it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Well, let's let truth prevail, or at least open discussion. You know, which we're not getting that either. So.
Yeah. Well, I just hope everyone out there remains hopeful and positive and does something about it. And if everyone pulls together and does something and becomes their own leader and makes their own website, like I did.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Yeah. Everyone does one little thing.
Yeah. Well, okay, give us the website, and then that'll be the final thing, brother.
It's axiomatica.org, and we have videos, articles, blogs, music, culture, arts, pictures, everything, and you can post any of those things yourself.
Nice.
Make an account and join the community, and we have forums, and it's going places. Get in on the ground level and become one of our signature authors who writes original stuff for us. And,
Very cool.
You know, you'll be the next Michael Chusadovsky.
Very nice. Okay, Kevin Kelso, thank you very much for coming on the show again, and we'll do it again in the future, all right?
I really enjoyed it. Anytime. Thank
very
you.
Nice, partner. Be well, Bo.
See you later.
Bye. Okay, very nice. Yeah, so we got through maybe a quarter of these 40... well, let's call it a third of these 40 smoking guns, sort of, you know, problems in the official story. And there's not too many people, very, very few, as a matter of fact, that have looked into 9/11 and continue to believe the official story. I can think of one in this town. You know, there's others. I don't really understand what makes them tick. You know, because the things that we talked about for the last hour and a half, we could have gone on for many hours and talked about things that we hadn't, you know, and not repeat ourselves. There, you know, pretty much everything you look at in the official 9/11 story can does not appear plausible or possible. It seems to be a lie from start to finish. Oh, wait, let's hang that up. So there we are. There's a look at some problems in the 9/11 story. And where we're going to go, we have some audio clips I'm going to finish the night off with. This first one is a great one. It's Everything is Okay. And they are just encouraging you to, well, go out and shop. You know, isn't that the answer to our problems? Yeah, everything's okay. Just go back to work, and if you're not working, go shopping, okay? So this is a fun one here, this British activist, quite a clever fellow. And following that, we're going to hear a short song. You know the song American Pie by, is it Tim something? Anyway, so this is a takeoff on that song by the Capitol Steps. And this is Bye Bye American Pie. And they're talking about the changes to our food and our products due to, well, basically globalization. Oh, there's a phone call. Don McLean, thank you if you were calling to tell me that. I know. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Raymond, Chris Stewart here.
Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it was great. I just wanted to add a side note.
Okay.
Since you were talking about freedom and the hijacking of America.
Okay.
And I wanted to point out a very interesting, looks like a sick joke that was thrown right in our faces on 9/11. They threw 19 faces up on TV.
Yeah, man.
Of guys with stolen identities and said, these guys have hijacked America because they hate your freedom.
Yeah.
When the interesting coincidence is that there happen to be 19 governors of the Federal Reserve Bank, and these are the crooks who have hijacked America because they hate your freedom.
Yeah.
And so they threw that right in your faces on 9/11. And I also wanted to point out that tomorrow's the 11th of March, and I'm hoping to see in every city in the world, people getting out on the 11th of every month and just doing something, talk to people, hang a banner or something. Just remind everyone on the 11th of every month that we got to keep history from being a mystery.
Mm. Well said.
Otherwise, they'll keep winning, we'll keep losing. History will be buried under in the mists of time.
Good, good. Okay. Are you going to be at a certain place?
Right now I haven't found anyone who has free time, so I just plan on hanging a banner or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
And waving at some people for an hour or something.
Sure, sure. Well, right on, Chris. I know that you're real active in this town, so thanks and keep it up, man.
Yeah, there's a great half-hour video up of Vancouver 9/11 Truth on the Internet right now doing all their activism during the Olympics with the banners at the CTV media booth. They did a really great job in putting up with the abuse of these drunken...
I just learned about that. I didn't know it was out already, and my guest, a member of that group, set it up.
Yeah, it looks like they had to put up with a lot of abuse from some drunken idiots who were harassing them, but they did a really good job. And as well as they were talking to the police there and talking about how impressed they were with how they handle everything as well.
Okay, yeah. Chris, I got to cut you off there to keep her going, so thanks for the call and thanks for the advice.
Okay, bye.
Cheers, bro. Okay, friends, that is going to do it. So I told you about the two things. A little bit of irony, sarcasm here. Everything is okay. Just go back to shopping. And then the takeoff on American Pie. Bye-bye, American Pie, by the Capitol Steps. So we're going to do it again next week. I'm going to do my best to get John Boncour splitting the sky on the show to tell us exactly what went down this week with his trial of being arrested for attempting to place George W. Bush under citizen's arrest. So that hopefully will be next week's show. And that's it. That's all. Okay, be well, friends. Take care.
Everything you read in the mainstream media is 100% true. Please, go back to your jobs. If you have not got a job, you are a worthless human being. Consume, consume, consume until we have no planet left to consume. What you need to do is buy things that you don't need. That's the best way to support the economy. Smiling is bad for the economy. Please do not smile, but please move swiftly to your next shopping experience. It's very important for children to be trained in ripping people's bodies to shreds. So come and buy some games with lots of killing and destruction and war.
Independent thoughts lead to chaos. Thinking is boring. Thinking is hard work and it's not worth the energy.
If you see a Buddhist on the street, try and get them to leave their religion. Buddhists are trying to get us to meditate. Meditation is a waste of good shopping time. Miserable people shop more, so please remain as miserable as you can.
You know, other aliens on my planet, they call you sheeple, not people. But I will not stoop so low.
It's very nice that we have security in a corporate zone imitating public servants.
Hey, you know, wait, no, you're not allowed. Not allowed. Not so.
What are we not allowed to do?
My paperwork.
Can I ask you, sir, why are you dressed up impersonating a police officer?
I suggest you put my megaphone down and stop protesting. Now.
I am not protesting. I am just speaking through a megaphone.
Well, you're not
and what I do is give people like you hugs.
No,
what you need is a hug.
You're fine,
no, you do need a hug. Honestly.
You're fine, excuse me, sir. You
calming? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Keep it calm. Keep it calm. Get back inside and get back to work. That's what you should be doing. Stop putting your head out of bed. Never mind your lunch hour. The more you work, the better. But when you die, you'll regret that you haven't worked more. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're told not to film this, that is an abuse of power. You are completely entitled to film whatever you like, and that is on the Metropolitan Police website. So please continue. Isn't it amazing when people are in uniform, they completely lose their mind?
I want to listen to you without the megaphone, if you don't mind.
I know you do, but I prefer to speak on a megaphone so everybody knows what I'm saying.
You haven't got permission to be here.
No one has got permission to be here. Hold on a second. Excuse me, madam. Do you have permission to be here? Do you have permission? Do you have permission? You're a very, very naughty lot of people. I think we're going to have to get a lot of police out here.
See, something's happened about the police force. In the last 30 years. And what's happened is that instead of them being here to protect us, what you started to become is a corporate gang, a gang of corporate security people that go around fining people for saying words. You sort of lost touch with what you're really here to do, which is to help us. It feels like it, yeah. Because you're not really helping anybody by fining him for saying the word shit. Or whatever other words.
Does anyone else notice how Canary Wharf security uniforms look suspiciously like public servant police uniforms? Yet they are private employees of a private area, yet they are allowed to wear a uniform which looks exactly like a police uniform. Because we are entering what some people call a police state. I would call it a Canary Wharf security state.
Capitalism is a wonderful system. Okay, a few billion people get nothing. But still, think of all the people that get lost. Don't worry about the fact that the Chinese people had to work for 50 cents a day. They're Chinese, who cares? There's a billion of them.
What I'm going to say to you guys in person, the police, is this is nothing personal, and I'm going to show you how much this is nothing personal.
A long, long time ago, we used to get our food homegrown, and toothpaste used to make you smile. It used to be you'd shop with ease, never eating antifreeze, You planned to keep on living quite a while. But now our goods are all delivered from somewhere on the Yangtze River. No one knows the source there, so you might find some horsehair. But if corporations make a buck, they don't give a flying. Peking duck. And with this system we get stuck today, it makes you sigh. Now when you abide by an American pie, your grandma didn't fake it, it was made in Shanghai, where they engineered the apples to be juicy, not dry. But the crust is made of cardboard and lye. Don't feed it to your dog, he might die. Now did you eat a tasty cake, and did it make your stomach ache? I could have said I told you so. And the reason you are looking wan is some guy took bribes in Szechuan, so you just bit into little Debbie's toe. And now the toys you bought from Fisher Price have toxins deemed unsafe for mice, and Elmo tends to wheeze, 'cause he's laced with PCBs. But all my problems seem so far when I see my cheap new DVR. I'll even brush my teeth with tar, and you will see that I'll buy from some young guy. I drive a Chevy and it's heavy, but the price is too high. Soon $20 will buy a car from Shanghai. And honey, that'll be the day we all die.